SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Omerenzi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. The Thursday night throwdown has begun, as has week one of the college football regular season. I know it sort of started last night, but now it's real. Now we've got real teams playing. Now we've got the Ohio State Buckeyes, who were up against the ropes mid-fight, but C.J. Stroud steps up. A big night for his debut. For the Ohio State Buckeyes, they get the Ducks next. Ducks have to deal with the Fresno State Bulldogs first. I got to tell you, I didn't think we were going to be talking about a live football game, or at least I should say I didn't think we were going to be talking about the live football game from Orlando at this hour of the night. But hey, there's a lot of things you don't expect in life, and here we are, right? That's the beautiful thing about sports. It's the ultimate reality television. It was reality television before Survivor and all that other stuff, which incidentally, I believe, is into its 41st season. Yeah, I like how they pull that off. Like, it's like Survivor hasn't been on TV for 41 years. Look, I've been on for 19 years now. So does that mean in seasons? Like, seriously. They what do? Like, they double it up, basically. So, hey, 38 seasons of Sports Rage. 19 years, but 38 seasons. What the hell does that mean? But I tell you what, we got a football game going on, and we thought that this game would be a long game. So just for the record, I'm on Central Florida. I got them in a money line parlay, and everybody else has already won. So I'm on the money line with Central Florida, and I also laid 5 points with Central Florida. I've got too much money on Central Florida. I'm not overly ecstatic about it. But I'm not in a panic. I was never in a panic about them winning the football game. But I don't know about the point spread. It's 24-21 right now. All right, they're coming on. It's 24-21. Now, we also have the over in this game as well. It's sort of slowing down because Boise are starting to slow down. Central Florida have the momentum right now. So it should be an entertaining game. We've got late night action going on. Arizona State. Laying 45 and a half points tonight against Southern Utah. I decided to pull the trigger on the over of that game. Teddy Covers will step up and in straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll talk college football with Teddy. We'll get his thoughts on the Ohio State Buckeye win. They win by 14. And it's funny because I would have made the number like 16 and a half type of thing. I thought it was a little light, and I thought they were right. I thought they were right when they moved it up, when it went up. Because there were 14s, and from what I understand, there were like 16s out there. And then it went back down, or there was 15s in Vegas, and went down to 13.5, and I was like, whoa. Now, normally, there's not like really as key numbers in college football as there is in the NFL. Yet, the Big Ten is a pretty by-the-book conference. So it's interesting that it lands on 14, which I'm sure was pretty much a nightmare. We got Teddy's thoughts on this. A nightmare for the books. The late night anger management class. There is no countdown. The rage has begun, as has the college football regular season. I know we've already been playing college football, but now it's go time. Now we're breaking it all down. Teddy Cover's going to join us. Wager Talk straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll talk about all the big games and not so big games, because when you're laying money down on games, they're all big games. Mick Aussie will join us. Speaking of big games, the Australian rules football playoffs roll along, or as they call it, the finals. So Mick Aussie will step up and in, and we'll break it down on a Thursday night tonight with the Mixter. JN Reports, our Windy City Sports Report. And last week we talked about Illinois. We gave you Illinois. We told you they were going to win. It's funny because a lot of people like UTSA this week in the reverse role, the upset. So it's great to have college football back at this time next week, and I know we've been saying that a couple of times, but and you always got to, you know, God willing as well. You can't take anything for granted. So hopefully next week at this time, because it is Thursday, Man, we're going to be recapping the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's getting real. It's getting real. And speaking of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, now listen, I got to be honest. I really don't care what people like, you know, I don't dismiss anybody's opinion. I don't dismiss you. You're free to your opinion and stuff like that. But it's funny because I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about vaccinated quarterbacks. And I said, Tom Brady's clearly vaccinated because he's a winner. And I saw a million people in our chat. Oh, Morenci's an idiot. This guy doesn't even drink beer. You think he's going to take a vaccination? And everybody, oh, there's no way Tom Brady's vaccinated. And all I'll say to you is there's a reason why I'm in front of the mic and you're in front of the computer, all right? So for the record, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians announced earlier today, 100% vaccinated, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Every player, every coach. I believe Tom Brady's a player, right? This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't ruin your appetites. I'm buying lunch for everybody on me.
Wow. What's the occasion?
I'm rich. I won my bets on the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, and I chunked it all on a hockey game, and I won that.
Hey, all right. How much did you win?
$116.
What a windfall.
Yeah. Yeah, I still feel tingly.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. We're throwing it down. It's the Thursday Night Throwdown, and there's no more wait. Shout out to everybody tuning in. Our main man, the conspiracy theorist, Kyle Johnson, although I think about 80% of you guys are conspiracy theorists. Oh, boy, I see Auburn Wild. Auburn Wild is back. But I don't know if it's actually could be an imposter. Or I think it's, like I said, we have imposters of imposters. The only show, it's honestly the only show I've ever seen in which people actually have our listeners have imposters and stuff like that, which is kind of twisted and insane. But that's like a deep psychological issue that we don't have time for right now. Let's bring in Teddy, Mr. Teddy Covers. Teddy, no more countdown, no more wait. College football is here. How you doing, Teddy?
I got some deep psychological issues that we don't have time for, Gabe.
That's why they call me. That's why they call me the late night anger management professor. That's what I'm here for, Teddy. We are. Hey, I laid 13 points. It was 13 and a half. I bought the hot point. I made it 13. So, hey, I don't have any rage and anger about that. But I saw you retweet the tweet. And shout out to Cam Stewart. He actually, great prediction by Cam. He said, man, this is a game where the books are going to could get really middled here. And because there was every possible number out there, Teddy, along the progression, wasn't there? What I don't know what you had, if you did the game or whatnot, but I'm sure there's a lot of sort of pissed off sportsbook directors that got beat by a lot of different sides of this game tonight.
Yeah. I mean, most of the action came at 13 and a half or 14, but there were 14 and a half out there. They got bought out. the wise guys took them out. And there were 13 and a half available on game day. And those got taken out as well. So, for the majority of bookmakers, when you're paying out both sides, the minus 13.5 and the plus 14.5, and you don't win on anything, and the over cashes as well. There was not a great game for the house. And I could say that after talking with a couple of sportsbook directors around town this past week, week zero in college football wasn't a great week for the house either. I'm sure the NC State game wasn't real good for the house either. So, the bettors doing all right early on in college football.
So we'll go game by game, and I'll throw a bunch of games at you. Teddy Covers, Wager Talk, joining us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. As far as assessment, I know you look at the big picture. You like to take everything in. Any takeaways from the Ohio State Buckeye team tonight, Minnesota Golden Gophers, that you said, you know what, I like this, I don't like this, mental notes moving forward. What did you take away from tonight's football game? C.J. Stroud's debut, all that and more.
Well, on the one hand, Ohio State, I mean, from a skill position talent standpoint, you know, they're not a whole lot. As we knew going in, this is a team that's going to score quick strike touchdowns, and that makes them a very dangerous team to play under the total. You know, because when you have a team that can score on defense, it can score on special teams, and is going to get their fair share of quick strike TDs. Well, you know, that's a team, for me at least, that I'm only looking to play over the total. The concern that I had for Ohio State tonight, and it's a real concern, this was not, and you know, it was a good defense last year. It certainly wasn't elite, and there were major issues on the defense side of the football again tonight. Defensively, Ohio State's got a long way to go if they're actually going to compete for a national title this year. If they play D like that all season, and again, week one, you want to overreact, but the Buckeyes D was vulnerable this evening, and that's a concern.
Teddy Covers with us. So they get the Ducks. They get the Ducks next week. The Ducks play Fresno. You know what's your perspective on the Ducks? Some people question, think they're overhyped. Some people are really hyping them up. We had Jerry Palm on last week. He said he thinks Ohio State beats them by like 28 or something like that. They're like 10.5 point favorites, 9.5, 10 point favorites. At least the look ahead line was. Are you buying into the Ducks this year? Do you think they can? Can the Ducks play with Ohio State? I guess the question I'm asking you.
I don't know how many teams can play with Ohio State, but if you don't get stops, you know, anyone can hang around.
So I'm saying, can they trade points with them? Right, go in there and trade points, right?
Wouldn't shock me. Stranger things have happened. You know, my gut reaction to that game is, let's look at the over before we look at the side. Think that we're going to see, you know, two offenses loaded with, again, when you're betting overs, it doesn't matter whether it's the NFL or college. You know, for me, the number one thing I want when I'm betting over is that quick strike, quick TD potential. And both Ohio State and Oregon have that. You know, where, you know, all right, oh, it's a little swing pass. Oh, he breaks a tackle and he's off to the end zone. You know, that's how you cash overs. So certainly one would think. And I think Oregon's got that type of capability. I know Ohio State has that type of capability.
Teddy, I didn't think we'd be talking about a live football game, although I did think it would take forever, this game. I did think it'd be a long game, but I didn't think it would be live, Teddy, right? It's almost like that Dodgers-San Diego baseball game the other day that really did nearly go to like 5 in the morning Eastern. I wanted to keep going at that point. I was like, man, I want people to wake up at like 7 in the morning for work, and the baseball game is still going on. So there was a big delay here. Central Florida starting to turn it up a notch a little bit. I know you got your eye on this game. What's your take on the in-game, where this game's going? What did you think about this one so far?
Well, UCF just scored a touchdown to go ahead. I took some UCF right before halftime when they scored. Yep.
Touchdown,
right before
Central
they
Florida.
Scored a touchdown before halftime. I got a nice number on the Knights that no one's going to be able to get right now. But the momentum in that game had clearly swung. And now, you know, UCF just took their first lead of the game. I haven't seen what the number is following this latest touchdown. But, you know, and this was a game that before kickoff, I wanted no part of it. You know, how many times have we seen Boise? Oh, Boise's going to be in trouble. You know, they're going down to the heat and humidity, and then they go down there and they kick somebody's butt. You know, more than once we've seen Boise, and then they got out to the lead today. But Bachmeier's one of these QBs who he gets hot and then he gets cold, and he gets hot and he gets cold within the same game. You know, he's not someone who I'm confident I'm going to get four quarters of good play out of him. And frankly, here in the second half, Hank Bachmeier has not been real good for Boise State. All the momentum right now with UCF in the bounce house.
I'm not going to say, and for the record, it's 3.5 now. So UCF pops up right now, but it's minus 150. Holy crap. So it's minus 3.5. It's minus 295 on the money line, over under 69.5 at FanDuel. And I, you know, for the most part, Teddy, and I find this, for at least me personally, I can't speak for other people. This is just my own personal thing. But it's sort of like the UFC. When I first see the fight announced, I'll know right away. I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to win. Anytime that I start debating it, changing my mind, flip-flopping, I'm wrong in the end. And I always think, if you're undecided, just don't bet it, right? And it's it's kind of weird. I know it seems simple to say that, but it's easier said than done. But it's kind of weird, Teddy, because for the last 2 weeks, I was telling everybody, I don't know why Central Florida's laid as many points. Bachmeier going in here, they can hang with these guys. So it's a lot of points. For whatever reason, last night and today, I was like, just totally changed my mind. I'm like, you know what? They won't be able to hang for 60 minutes. My initial thought was a losing thought. I'm going to jump on Central Florida. And then suddenly they're down 21-0. So I don't know. You know, it's just been a weird game. More with Teddy on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's the dumbest bet I ever heard of?
I disagree.
World Cup qualifications have begun. United States, scoreless draw with El Salvador this evening. Meanwhile, Canada 1-1 with Honduras. Both final results. USA 0-0 in El Salvador. Somewhat of a shocker there, even though it was on the road in El Salvador, a country that I actually have been to on the way to Costa Rica. That was an adventure, let me tell you. The trip there, flying Air Colombia. I decided to look up, Teddy, Air Colombia crashes and stuff. I don't know why. I guess I'm a morbid person. I looked it up. I'm like, dear God, like, yeah, yeah. There was a lot of like, yeah, crashed to the side of that mountain and did that and this whole flight. And then the whole time on the flight, everybody was like, anybody that wasn't like from El Salvador, literally, we were all asked, why are you going here? Like, are you crazy? Like, people were like, are you nuts? Like, even people from there were like, do not go, like, you know? And the only other people besides, like, me, they were all, like, Christian missionaries and stuff like that. They were all being warned about getting carjacked. And I was like, I'm just swinging over to Costa Rica, going to a gambling convention. That's their life. They're helping people. I'm going to Costa Rica to gamble. All right, so Teddy covers with us. Speaking of gambling in Las Vegas, we start talking about this game. I'm always fascinated by bad football games, Teddy. And I just didn't really like, I know UNLV's win total is like 1.5 this year, and people thought tonight was the game, was looking like a pick 'em. And dude, like, they don't have the athletes that Eastern Washington have, Teddy. I took the Eagles tonight. I'm on Eastern Washington right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, UNLV did have a 6-3 lead at the half. And they got the ball to start the second half. And on opening day, coming out of the locker room at home with the ball to start the second half, they go false start, delay of game, false start, punt, touchdown, and the route is on. Eastern Washington hasn't looked back since. And again, when you have the college teams that are playing in the big NFL stadiums and nobody shows up to root for them, it's like a negative home field advantage. Remember that when Tulane played at the Superdome?
Yep.
And people are going to see UNLV because that's the only cheap ticket you can get to see Allegiant Stadium. You know, you can get your
that's a good point. Game for concerts $30. Are expensive. Raider games,
you know,
exactly.
Everything. the Raiders tickets are, you know, the nosebleed seats are $500. It's crazy, the demand for the tickets, because it's not just people from Vegas who haven't been to the stadium and want to see him. It's everyone coming in from out of town who wants to see their own team. So, I mean, you can't. I mean, Raider tickets are insane, and the concert tickets are insane, and you can get tickets to go see the Rebels. So I know a bunch of guys went tonight, but they weren't cheering.
You know, they were cheering for Rebels. Dude, that's the best. People are going to UNLV games. You got a couple of hardcore students. Everyone else is just degenerates. That's what I used to go to. Used to see. You'd see, like, cover, like, the opposition would be covering, and you'd see people high-fiving each other. People go and bet against the team.
I seem to remember getting thrown out of a UNLV game with you once, Gabe.
Yeah. It was Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Must have been the redhead. Must have been Cam's fault.
No, I'll take responsibility. I don't know. It was done. Yeah, exactly. I'll take responsibility. Fun night. Yeah, you know it's hardcore when you get asked to leave in Vegas. I didn't get kicked out. It was just one of those... maybe you should go type of things. Have you thought about leaving? Like, I swear to God, Ted, like the cops came up. They said, listen, we're not kicking you out, but, you know, maybe you should consider it, right? I was like, yeah, I'm gone. I went to Sunset Station. Watch the rest of the game. I was like,
yeah, I was with you that night. I was with you. So it did happen. So
good memories.
I can vouch for it.
Memories,
but you said that the Rebels have students. The Rebels have no fans.
No, I know. There was like 500 of them, 200 of them. No, I know.
You know, but even them, it's not like.
But like you said, Teddy, with the big stadium, no one's to say because you feel like a loser in an empty stadium. And it's funny, Teddy, because you look at the CFL, the Canadian Football League, it's the same thing. You think, oh wow, that's cool. Oh, the Toronto Argonauts play in the same stadium as the Blue Jays, Pro Stadium. BC Lions play in this big stadium where they had the Olympic ceremonies. You know, they have the worst home field out of these teams. In big cities, big stadiums, people don't go. Then there's like 12, 15,000, 18,000 people in a 60,000-seat stadium, and it doesn't have that buzz. And all these teams, whenever they play, in these, like, outdoor sort of college, smaller 35,000-seat stadiums, they sell out. People love it. The vibe is great, Teddy. It's like MLS, bro. Look at MLS. It's successful. They're not playing in 90,000-seaters. They're filling up 40,000-seaters, and they're making money doing it, Teddy. That's how you got to do it.
Though, I mean, that is the way you have to do it, but UNLV, I mean, they had no choice. You know,
exactly. They were lucky to get the stadium. You know, if I was UNLV, I'd play on the baseball field in the stands. You'd be lucky to fill that up. Just put it right there. All right, so let me ask you. So I'm on Eastern Washington here. I didn't lay the points. I thought it was too much, 45. I did take the over of Arizona State and Southern Utah, 28-7 right now, going into the half. So sort of on pace there. But I was going to say, for the most part, favorites were rolling. Tulsa gets upset, but, you know, they were supposed to be down. Good call by you. I knew you were high on NC State coming into the year. The line movement freaked me out a little bit, got up to 19.5. Tennessee did not cover by one touchdown, but last week we saw chalk. We're seeing more chalk. Going into the week, I'm expecting more chalk. Like, are there, like, live dogs, per se, Teddy? The only dog I'm really looking at are the Raging Cajuns. But I think some of these, like, you know, like Texas A&M, how the hell is New Mexico State even going to get a first down against San Diego State? You know, some of these big spreads. Normally I stay away, but I think they're all going to be routes, Teddy.
So week one, I have no hesitation laying points.
Yeah.
It's a chalk week. And not only is it a chalk week, it's not just the big blowout games. Because in week two and week three, you see teams all of a sudden they're looking at the conference schedule. They got a big opponent next. You don't get full focus. Week one, you get full focus from everyone. And week one, you know, from a conditioning standpoint, a lot of these lesser teams, they're not there yet. You know, they're not where they're going to need to be by conference play. So you see them really wear down in the second half. That certainly happened in a couple of games tonight. And the other thing that you have to consider when you talk about week one in college football, all summer long, these lines are up. And all summer long, every wise guy in Las Vegas, around the country, is like, what dog can win? Oh, this dog is live. Oh, that dog is live. And it feels like there's an overemphasis on some of these dogs in these games. And the numbers come out relatively low. The dogs get a little bit more betting attention than they might normally. And, you know, for me, week one is a favorites week. I have no problems laying points. I laid with NC State tonight. They won't be the only team that I'm laying a big price with over the course of the weekend.
And when we say that, I'm talking about the big point spread. So here's, I'll just go rapid fire and I'll start throwing games at you. Goes into North Carolina, Virginia Tech. I think we do have a live dog here, but this is more of a competitive. When I was just talking about chalk guys, I was talking about the laying the big numbers here. Texas A&M against Kent State. New Mexico State, San Diego State. We'll get Teddy's thoughts on Michigan, Western Michigan at 16.5. But I'm buying into Virginia Tech here. I think they can hang around in this football game. North Carolina lost a lot of talent, Teddy, and they're being priced because of Sam Howell. It's up to Fuente. Fuente used to be a great coach and a covering machine. Hasn't quite been the success that they would hope at Virginia Tech. But what about this game? Do you think we have a live dog here?
Yeah, I'd rather have the dog than the favorite, for sure. But it's not a bet against North Carolina. You know, Howell's real. The Tar Heels are a team, and I'm not going to compare them to Ohio State necessarily, but they've got a lot of quick strike potential that Virginia Tech just doesn't have. If they can get the ball into their playmakers in space, they're going to score touchdowns. Defensively, however, I don't trust that team. And when we talk about what Virginia Tech wants to do, all they want to do is keep the ball out of North Carolina's hands. You know, they're not going to push tempo. You know, they're not going to say, oh, let's score really fast and give the ball back to the Tar Heels so they can score really fast. You know, the Hokies want to slow this down a little bit, and I think that may help them hang around in this game. Yeah, and again, I haven't bet it. I'm not convinced that I'm going to bet it, but if I was, I'd be looking at the dog before I looked at the favorite.
Teddy covers Wager Talk, joining us, wagertalk.com, straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Any interest in the Big Ten matchup, Teddy? The number's been bouncing around, 3, 3.5. I guess it's depending on the book, with Northwestern and Michigan State. I'd like to take the under, but, man, it's hard taking the under when it's this low in a college football game at 40. It actually went up to 46.5, but any opinion on that football game?
Yeah, I got the dog +4 in my pocket in that game. I bet that one a couple of weeks ago. And it was a straight fade in Northwestern. Look, Michigan State was god-awful last year. Northwestern is the best team they're going to have. And Spartans still beat them.
Yeah.
You know? Northwestern's in revenge. You know, oh, they're in revenge. Yeah, they're in revenge. Northwestern is not a team I'm comfortable laying points with. Look, they brought in another hot QB transfer. You know, they're going to – the quarterback position – Northwestern might be able to score some points, but Sparty's going to have a better year this year than they did last year. I believe what Mel Tucker's doing. I think they get Northwestern a game.
More with Teddy Covers on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, Brian, care to place a wager?
Tomorrow night on Fox's Celebrity Boxing, I've got Carol Channing beating Mike Tyson in 3 rounds.
Carol Channing. You've got Carol Channing, the actress, beating Mike Tyson, the boxer. Hell, give me $50 on Tyson.
Yeah, you're in good company. Betting Freddy took the same wager.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci, SiriusXM Channel 204. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We're kicking it with our main man, Teddy Cover, straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. So let's just get right back to business here. A lot of people in the chat asking about the Penn State-Wisconsin game. This is an instance where I like everybody in a way, Teddy, in which I put a play in a future that Wisconsin wins their division. All right, you look at the division and you look at their schedule, and I don't see how they don't win their division. But without being stated, I think the point spread is too high in this game, and it wouldn't shock me if Wisconsin won the game but didn't cover, and it wouldn't shock me if Penn State wins the game. I do think Penn State are, you know, they won the last 4 games last year, Teddy. What do you make of the point spread in this game? What are your thoughts on this Big Ten? This is a big-time game here.
It really is. But before we give Penn State too much credit for winning the last 4 games last year, you know, three of them, well, one of them was Michigan. they were dogs
enough.
There. The, and the other three, again, there's a 1-5 team. They're laying doubles, and they beat Rutgers and Sparty and Illinois down the stretch. They didn't do anything. All that said, who's got the better quarterback here, Gabe? Penn State. You know, Sean Clifford, I believe. I've seen it. You know, Mertz is one. How many different Badgers quarterbacks have we heard? Oh, this is really, this guy's really
big time recruit.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, and here's Mertz is the latest one, and I wasn't impressed with them at all last year. Clifford, so we have the team catching points with the better quarterback, all right?
What about the better coach? Would you agree? Who's the better coach?
Mm-hmm.
Chris or Franklin? I mean, Chris has been a money burner, right, too? I mean, let's be real.
So, in 2019, the Badgers opened up 6-0, including a win at UCF, if memory serves correctly. They went 5-0 at home during that span, 4-1 against the spread in those five home games. Okay, that was the open 2019. Other than that single stretch, they had all these home games in a row, and they were in really good form, and they blew teams off the ball. Other than that stretch, 1-10 against the spread as home favorites the last 3 years under Chris. Last year,
wow,
they were 0-2. They were double-digit favorites, lost outright. And the other game they were double-digit favorites, they needed overtime to win. So I'm not sold on Wisconsin as a bigger favorite against Penn State. Penn State is every bit as good as Wisconsin. Now, I've got my concerns about the Nittany Lions in the trenches here, and that's my biggest concern about Penn State. That's why this isn't a big bet for me or anything like that, because there are concerns on both the offensive and defensive lines for Penn State. And, of course, if their defensive line doesn't hold up, Wisconsin will just hand the ball off 50 times and then run it down their throats. But when I graded out the personnel, I'm not seeing 6 points worth of difference between these two teams. And I got a quarterback who can make plays on the road in the fourth quarter. Give me Penn State plus the points.
Penn State 6-1 straight up and against the spread last 7 against these guys. Chris 12-15 against the spread last 27. And as Teddy mentioned, it was just sort of one little run there. All right, let's keep it in the Big Ten. Hail to the victor, Wolverine, the Michigan Wolverines. Host Western Michigan, the Broncos rolling the town, 16.5 right now, Teddy. And if there's one, it's interesting. I saw a number courtesy of Mark Lawrence in his playbook in which Harbaugh 7-1 against the numbers, a non-conference favorite of 18 or less, right? And that's the one thing. Harbaugh's beaten the teams he's supposed to beat, but he never wins the games that he's not supposed to win. That's been the problem, right? They have dominated against Western Michigan. Is the point spread too high for you? Or it's one of these deals where it could go like, all right, in hindsight, if they don't cover, well, it was way too high. But I like to think of these teams that they like to get some confidence going. Let's sort of like UCLA last week. Like, I think if Harbaugh can smash Western Michigan, he'll smash Western Michigan. Get the confidence, get everybody gone, shut everybody up for a week, get ready for Washington. You struggle against Western Michigan, a lot of negativity in the air already with Washington coming to town. What's your take on this game?
So I have to say one of the things I enjoyed tonight was watching Joe Milton struggle for Tennessee at Bowling Green. And in my mind, that fact helps me digest Harbaugh a little bit better. Because when we look at Michigan, okay, throughout the entirety of the Harbaugh era, the issue's been at one position, quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Michigan hasn't had a good defense, not like they haven't had skill position talent, not like they're not having offensive linemen drafted to the NFL. What they haven't had is a quarterback like, oh, I don't know, Jim Harbaugh was for the Wolverines. Or, you know, 15 other guys have been for the Wolverines.
Yeah, the guy you could believe in. The guy you could believe in, yeah.
Yeah. So does Michigan have a quarterback this year, we believe in?
No, I don't know. You know,
that answers your question right there.
Yeah, I know. It's the same kid. Exactly. I'm like, is he better now? Cade McNamara. We talked about him. He was a big-time recruit, right?
So's Milton.
I know.
And he's a stiff.
I know. It's a concern.
Doesn't matter what school he's at. He's a stiff. But the point is that the watching Milton be a stiff for Tennessee tonight made me feel better about Harbaugh.
But you know what? With Harbaugh's offense, and I think you'd probably agree with this, there's no identity. That's been a problem. Like you talk about the quarterback issue's been a problem, but it's not like they can hang their hat on a ground game either and say, well, listen, we're running for like 244 a game. We're running for 222 a night. You're not, right? Like they haven't been, you know, short yardage isn't really great. Charbonnet split for UCLA. But, you know, it's good enough. They've had good wide receivers, and then the wide receivers get mad because we can't get them the ball. You're right. And I don't know, it's baffling, isn't it? Because Harbaugh has been great with quarterbacks. You look, going back to the San Diego days with the Toreros and the Johnson kid. Guy played in the NFL for 10 years after, right? Yeah. So you get Johnson. All right, can you give him credit for Andrew Luck? Well, whatever. Andrew Luck's a prodigy. It is what it is, but he didn't screw Andrew Luck up. So then he's with Andrew Luck. Then he goes to the NFL, and he goes 12-4 and 13-3 with Alex Smith. Then he says, you know what? I'm going to make a switch to this kid from Nevada nobody's ever heard of. He goes to the Super Bowl in the NFC Conference Championship game. He's a former quarterback. It's amazing that it hasn't translated in Ann Arbor, Teddy, at the quarterback position. They can't find one kid.
No, and that again, when you watch him struggle elsewhere, the guys that transfer out and they're still struggling somewhere else, you're like, all right, it's not just Harbaugh.
Yeah. Good point. Like Shea Patterson just tried out for the BC Lions. He didn't even make like the practice roster, bro. Like, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
so, yeah. But again, Michigan, look at their yards per carry. All right. And I'm just going, I got the stats for the last 7 years here. 4.6, 4.0, 4.8, 4.4, 4.8, 4.2, 4.6. Nothing wrong with that. You know, that's...
Yeah, no, you're right.
Every year, with the exception of last year, every year they run for 150 yards per game or more. It's not like the offensive line is a problem or they can't run the football.
Okay,
Auburn quarterbacks.
Let's pick it up. So, and I'm not cutting you off, but I want to get to more games. So are you staying away, wait and see, test, or like... What do you think?
Like I said, week one, I want to lay points. I don't want the dogs. And I don't trust Michigan to cover this number. I'm not playing the game.
Stanford's up to 3.5. I just don't get this. I don't know, Teddy. Like, I know this is a stupid, crazy game, but I'm intrigued by it. Should K-State be -3.5, in your opinion, in this game?
Probably not. And yet, I'm not going to tell. This year, I'm not impressed with anything. You know, when we think about the good Stanford teams that David Shaw's had, you know, they have an identity.
It's like, you know, a
strong offensive line, decent QB play, the ability to run the football. This Stanford team, from a skill and talent standpoint, I'm not buying any of it. Boise, with the touchdown and the extra point, they just took a 1-point lead at UCF, 8 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter of that one.
Ooh, it's getting wild. It's getting wild. I mean, Central Florida went for it on a 4th-and-1. Massive, kind of a big swing if they would have converted that in this game is going a different direction. One dog that does intrigue me is the Raging Cajuns this week. Number's been going up, too. Or is this too much of a trendy pick, in your opinion? I mean, they got 21 to 22 starters back. Talking about a team that beat Iowa State last year. Iowa State this, Iowa State that. Well, they beat them, right? Good football team, Teddy. Hudson Card makes his first start. What do you make of this one?
I would not be shocked if the Raging Cajuns win that game straight up. And at the same time, how many times, you know, I had a conversation tonight. Earlier today, where someone was talking about the East Carolina game. He's like, well, it's a third-year head coach. He's telling us that he's got everyone back. And I'm like, if I could count all the times for week one in college football that I had a third-year head coach who told me that this is the year, it's all coming together. And I had all the money I lost on coaches like that. And there's East Carolina tonight, you know, in that exact situation. This is sort of that. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm saying it in an appropriate way, but it's like we just don't trust them. And that's my bottom line, Gabe. I don't know. What do you think?
I like the points here. I like the points. I don't think the kids will be overwhelmed. That's the whole thing. You know what I mean? It's sort of like experience in the NCAA tournament. You have experienced point guards. They've got experienced skill position players. I don't think the kids will be overwhelmed going into Austin. I think it's a lot to ask. I mean, but on the same point in time, Texas could run the ball down their damn throat, right? And they could
sure.
have a hard...
And this is one of those... This is a, you know, this is a hyped non-Power 5 school. And the hyped non-Power 5 schools, we see them on the road in week one all the time.
They it's a graveyard. And,
yeah. You know, I mean, Bowling Green's going to beat Wisconsin this year. Really? You remember that?
I know people think, yeah, they might be good in their conference. Doesn't mean they're going to win this game on the road, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. So that's,
well, how about UTSA?
I would not be shocked if Lafayette won that game. I would. This is straight up. They're capable.
This is the hipster special. Last week, Illinois getting a 6.5 against Nebraska. They win a game outright. They lose their quarterback. They win a game outright. They open up. I saw it was 5.5 earlier in the week. Now I'm seeing 4.5 at FanDuel. And I tell you, I've heard a lot of people that say UTSA is going to win this game outright this week. That, you know, sort of fluke, letdown for Illinois, etc. Are you one of those hipsters, Teddy, buying into the hype of UTSA?
I am not.
It's only 4.5 points.
There's a lot of hype for the Roadrunners, you know? But it's not really Roadrunner hype. It's just people don't like Illinois. And you can understand, you know, why that the Illini certainly, you know, what they did last week was more about Nebraska taking a shotgun and aiming at their foot over and over again than it was Illinois doing a whole lot good. But the fundamentals were there, you know, with the BLM, in a real way. For me, I'd rather lay the point with the Illinois than take it.
They got a Big Ten team only laying 4.5 here against the Roadrunners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Do you have a gambling problem?
No, I do. It's a hobby.
Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. We got a wild one rolling tonight in Orlando, Florida. It's always wild in Sin City. All right, Teddy, I always appreciate your time. You can catch Teddy daily on Wager Talk YouTube page, wagertalk.com. You can check him out right here on Sports Grid every Saturday morning as well. We got college football in full effect. So we got about a minute and a half or two here, Teddy. I'll ask you a game that I didn't bring up or a game you want to share with us. Words of wisdom from the great Teddy Covers on the way out here. Teddy, what do you got for us?
So I'm pretty high on this Texas Tech team. They're at Houston on Saturday, and that's one that has intrigued me a little bit. You know, I'm no Dana Holgorsen fan, and the more... The more you watch the Cougs and the more you see the programs that he takes over descend into mediocrity, I think the Red Raiders are pointing in the right direction. I think they get the win on opening day against the Cougs in Houston.
Wow. You know what? And you're right. Holgorsen's the type of guy. Looks like a good, looks like a fun dude to go and you know, watch a game with and have some drinks with. But doesn't mean I'd hire him as my coach, as you stated. Like, he's always melting down and like, there's, you know, so Texas Tech in Houston, a Lone Star State special. Teddy, great stuff, Teddy. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. May the winners be yours. Next week, we'll talk some NFL football.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, Teddy.
Cheers.
Late night anger management class. Always wish we can get to more games, but we're going to get to more games. Windy City Sports Report, Jane Report. Come on, man. Illinois down to 4.5 right now against UTSA. Bring it.
Spot a sports gaming winner.
They listen.